Veeam, radical resilience starts here.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, May 6th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, do you feel like you'd be able to focus better if you spent less time on your phone? WSJ tech reporter Catherine Binley broke up with some of her most addictive apps, and she joins us to talk about how that changed her life. And then, Boeing Starliner spacecraft is set to take NASA astronauts to the International Space Station this week. We'll hear from WSJ reporter Micah Maidenberg about what it took to get here. But first, for a while, WSJ tech reporter Catherine Binley noticed she couldn't focus the way she used to. So for Lent, she gave up social media apps like Instagram and X, online dating apps, and even TV. She successfully made her phone boring. And she was struck by how quickly she felt the effects of changing her habits. She joins me now with more on her experiment. Katie, what inspired you to make these changes?
It was largely that I was really curious what would happen to my attention span if I did this. So I had read a book called How to Break Up with Your Phone, and it talked about the research that's shown the way that our attention spans have dwindled over time and the impact of smartphone use on our attention spans. So I was just curious, if I gave some of this stuff up, would I enjoy reading a book again? I had wanted to write a children's book for a long time and just never sat down to do it. And I thought, like, on a weekend, if I'm not mindlessly picking up my phone or just having these distractions in my life, would I sit down on a weekend and do this focused work that's not part of my actual job?
Okay, so you gave up social media, TV, dating apps, all this stuff for 40 days. What were some of the biggest effects you noticed?
What was most striking was how quickly my ability to focus came back. It was funny. I actually called my mom and asked her if I had trouble focusing as a child. And she almost laughed at me and was like, no, you were an extremely focused child. I used to be like a voracious reader and would plow through books. So how quickly it came back was just astounding. I mean, within a couple of days, I just felt my brain was a bit calmer. And one of the first things I noticed was my ability to just complete work tasks in a shorter time, whether that was just picking up the phone to call sources or sitting down to write a draft or go through my notes. It all just came much more easily without the sort of compulsion to procrastinate or, oh, I'm going to check this really quick before I get started.
Okay, so the end of the 40 days has arrived. You have all these positive changes in your life. What happens next?
Yeah, so it was funny. Easter felt like Christmas morning for a kid. I was all excited to like see what I'd missed on Instagram, check my online dating app, which that ended up being depressing as usual. But so I woke up on Easter morning. I went through all the apps that I hadn't checked. And then for the rest of the day, my brain did feel more activated. I don't know how to explain it other than, you know, maybe like you had too much caffeine. It just felt different. And I kind of had this plan of like, okay, I'm going to give myself like a week grace period and I'll check whatever I want whenever I want and I'll watch as much TV as I want. And then the grace period just kept getting extended and I just quickly was back to my old habits, which is depressing.
Are there any habits that you'd want to keep from this experiment?
I talked to someone who researches technology on and its effects on us. And she said going cold turkey, you know, this is kind of the equivalent of like a crash diet where you are going to go back to your old habits afterwards. But I will say if I have something big in my life that I really want to accomplish, a goal, or if I am feeling, I don't know, extra stressed or distracted or not feeling present, I would absolutely do this again for a shorter period, maybe for 2 weeks or even a week or however long. And then there are like more longer term things that you can do. So I spoke with Catherine Price. She's the one who wrote that book, How to Break Up with Your Phone, that I referenced. And she recommends a couple things, like number one, keeping your phone in a different room when you don't need to be on it. She said she actually charges her phone in a closet. And then when your phone is going to be near you, you can actually put a physical barrier on it. So say you tie a rubber band around it. And then as far as absent-minded checking, if you go to pick up your phone and swipe up on it, there would be this built-in pause there of the rubber band. And then the other thing she recommends is just more mindful use of your phones. When you go to pick it up, it's about stopping yourself and thinking, okay, why am I picking up my phone right now? If you are feeling anxious, could you meditate instead? If you're like craving some social interaction, what if you called a friend instead of checking some kind of social media app?
That was tech reporter Catherine Binley. Coming up, A new Boeing spacecraft is set to carry astronauts for the first time this week. It's been a long road to get here. More after the break.
Build a stronger future with Veeam, the global leader in data protection and ransomware recovery. Protect and restore any workload, anywhere, anytime, instantly, and get comprehensive recovery and tailored solutions that scale with you. Visit veeam.com to learn more. Veeam, radical resilience starts here.
This week, Boeing's new Starliner spacecraft is scheduled to take off with crew members for the first time. It's headed for the International Space Station, where the NASA astronauts will visit for a week, and then the spacecraft will bring them back to Earth. It's a major test for a much-delayed project that Boeing has been working on for more than a decade. WSJ reporter Micah Maidenberg is here now with more. Micah, what do we know about the Starliner? How does it operate?
So Starliner is a spacecraft, a space taxi, it's been called. It's a crew capsule. It looks like a gumdrop, and it is stacked on top of a rocket. The rocket blasts it into space. It separates from the rocket and has its own propulsion system that speeds it along after that launch to catch up to the space station.
Tell us about the two astronauts on board.
Sunita Williams, Sunny as she's known, and Barry Wilmore, or Butch as he's known, are going to be on this flight. They're both retired from the Navy. They're both very experienced naval aviators who've flown thousands of hours on a bunch of different types of aircraft. And they've both been to space before. Williams joined the astronaut corps in the late 1990s and flew on the shuttle to the station and also on a Russian spacecraft called Soyuz. Wilmore joined NASA, the astronaut corps, a couple years after Williams did, and similarly did a shuttle and a Soyuz trip and back to the station. So they know what it's like to be on a rocket. They know what it's like to be on a spacecraft flying thousands of miles an hour out to the space station and returning to Earth. But this is a first flight on a new vehicle that has never carried folks before. And when you talk to Williams and Wilmore, they say they're ready and that they've, of course, worked really intimately with Boeing and NASA to sort of understand exactly what Starliner will offer once it's on its way.
Boeing has been working on Starliner for more than a decade. Has it been smooth sailing up to this point?
No, it hasn't been smooth sailing for Boeing. Look, space is hard. That's the cliche in the industry. It is true, but Boeing has faced some real development challenges with Starliners, especially over the last few years. There's been technical issues that have emerged that have stalled progress, including an issue a couple years ago with valves, with the parachute system, and even a kind of tape that the company used in the vehicle. A 2019 test flight that Boeing launched, Starliner, was blasted off. That was uncrewed. It didn't go well. The company was not able to send the vehicle to the space station to dock with it. And essentially, Boeing had to redo that flight to show that it could perform better.
Boeing has been under intense scrutiny in recent months for manufacturing failures in its planes. How is the company ensuring that it doesn't run into the same issues with its spacecraft?
Well, look, it's a question that's coming up for sure, you know, in conversations and briefings running up to this planned launch. Folks that are working on this program at Boeing say that their focus is one thing and one thing only, which is the mission ahead. And that mission, look, it's complicated. It's not going to be easy. This is the first time this spacecraft is going to be carrying astronauts, and the stakes are very high. And when you talk to folks at Boeing who are working at the company as it faces some of these broader questions, what they say is, we're just focused on delivering this mission in a safe and successful manner.
Could the space flight that's planned for tonight be postponed? And if so, why?
This flight definitely could be postponed. There could be weather. Listeners will know that weather in Florida, which is where Starliner will launch from, can be intense. And there are constraints for safety reasons. NASA and the companies don't want to just like launch into difficult, potentially dangerous weather. There also could be technical challenges that emerge. You know, everything we've heard is that the vehicle is wrung out, so to speak, that it's ready to go. But there have been, in the course of this program, relatively last-minute issues that have popped up. some of that happens in other contexts as well, but there certainly is that possibility for it to be delayed again.
Assuming the space flight does take off and it goes well, what could it mean for Boeing's future ambitions in space?
Boeing has a number of irons in the fire when it comes to space. They build satellites for the military. They help operate the current space station. They're developing and building rockets for future NASA exploration programs to the moon. Right now, with Starliner, Boeing is really just trying to execute this flight and then show that it can fulfill the contract that it has with the agency to do regular crew rotations to the space station and back.
That was our reporter, Micah Maidenberg. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
Build a stronger future with Veeam, the global leader in data protection and ransomware recovery. Protect and restore any workload, anywhere, anytime, instantly, and get comprehensive recovery and tailored solutions that scale with you. Visit veeam.com to learn more. Veeam, radical resilience starts here.